All right, good morning, golfers. Welcome to On Par. Thank you for joining me on this Saturday, August 12th, 2017. Beautiful day this morning, or beautiful morning, I should say. Should be a good one. Hopefully, you're getting a chance to get out. But first, you're stopping with me and touching base and listen to the only Long Island golf show around. Looking forward to a great show. We're going to be talking with Glen Oaks Golf Course Superintendent Craig Currier. That should be a fascinating discussion. We're going to be talking about getting ready for the Northern Trust Open and sort of talk about that transformation of that property and a couple of different things with the PGA moving to May. So it should be a pretty interesting conversation. So Craig is going to be with us shortly. We're going to be we'll take a short break, and you're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
The Long Island Golf Association is a nonprofit organization of 81 private and public clubs. The LIGA conducts 15 championships annually and works closely with the Long Island Caddy Scholarship Fund. The scholarships are granted to young men and women who are employed at member clubs. For more information on how you can participate in a championship, or if you'd like to donate your time as a volunteer, please call the LIGA at 516-746-1015. That's 516-746-1015. 1015, or visit us at www.longislandgolf.org.
Pete's Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit Pete'sGolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891 and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Pleased to be joined on the line by Glen Oaks Superintendent Craig Currier. Craig, how you doing this morning?
I'm good, Anthony. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, it's a nice, cool, cloudy morning. Everything's great.
Yep. I appreciate you coming on because I know how busy you are getting ready for the NTO and the Northern Trust Open for the first FedEx Cup event of the series. But wanted to, just because of the timeliness of it, the breaking news that the PGA moving to May, and you know, with your experience for the, it's going to be doing that obviously for the first time in 2019 when it happens to be a place that you're familiar with, Bethpage Black, and just wanted to just get your input on it in terms of, you know, what the conditions are going to be like in May versus August. To me, it seems like they're sort of, yeah, I know it's only for 1 year, so it's only a risk for 1 year, but it seems like they're sort of swapping one potential set of problems in terms of weather-wise, like August being the heat and the and the rain or potential rain and the difficult conditions there with potential problems with maybe a bad winter in you know, that particular year with moving it to May. But maybe you could talk a little bit about the health of the grass and what type of conditions, let's say on a normal winter, we may find, and if it is indeed better than maybe having it in August.
Well, actually, I think they, on the slate though, I think they have already got a couple, aren't they committed to Trump's place, and then Oak Hill has it on there? I mean, Rochester's,
right.
And Rochester's going to be more of an issue than it will be here even, but,
right.
You know, for us here, if we have a good winter, and, you know, Bethpage and a lot of the golf courses around here at Poa Greens, annual bluegrass, and the biggest problem we have with a bad winter is ice damage. So if the greens are under ice for, you know, more than a month, the damage can be pretty severe. That'd be my only real big fear, because if that happens, I mean, to have those recovered by the middle of May is zero chance.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, a normal winter, though, I think it'll be great. I mean, it's the trees won't be quite fully bloomed, and the, you know, and the fescue won't be golden brown, but, I mean, the rough and all that, as far as getting it thick enough, and will be good. And you know, in that time of year on the greens, I mean, getting green speed and keeping them firmer and harder is a lot easier. So that way, I think it'll be a lot easier, because, you know, right now is probably the worst time of year to host a big tournament on a Poa golf course here in the Northeast. It's especially Bethpage with all the play leading up to it.
Right.
So, you know, there won't be much play on the course, because they don't open typically till April 15th. So we'll probably only really be open for probably 2 weeks. So there's a lot of positives. I mean, the other negative is I don't know when they would actually build all the footprint. Because, you know, when we had the U.S. Open in June, they started in early March. It's like a three-month build.
Right.
So, I mean, we could realistically be the whole month of March be under snow. So trying to get all of that other, all the other stuff built, I think, would be the bigger question. I don't know if it has to start in the fall or, you know, that's a, you see what they build when they host those things.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing I'm not sure how that would work, but I would think they'd almost have to start in the fall. I mean, the tournament's in the middle of May. So,
yeah, that would be, it's an interesting question. I didn't even think about it. Those things are like little mini cities when they build up. And so you're right. They're probably going to have to consider, doing some infrastructure in the fall and then maybe doing some finishing touches in the early spring. I mean, there's no other way to do it.
Yeah, I mean, you get stuck with bad weather. It's those are a lot of those tents too. It's, you know, I mean, I think here they've put 2,000 stakes in the ground, you know, 3 feet down. So I mean, when you have frozen ground, trying to build those tents and secure them, it's that's another whole issue. But I, you know, all that being said, if the weather is good, I mean, I think it'll be a home run, certainly for the maintenance end of it, to get that place the way they want.
Yeah, that, and you're right. They do have Rochester. That was like sort of my first thought was, and again, these are all, we don't know the direction that they're going in. Obviously, they're looking to incorporate maybe some new venues in different parts of the country. So these are really just sort of, they're taking a chance, yes, but it's only one, maybe potentially one chance with a Rochester. I don't know how many times they're going to be going back, particularly if they don't get any good weather. But yeah, Rochester to me would be a scary thought in terms of, you know, wondering, you know, with these changing weather patterns, it's really difficult even for yourself. I mean, who is someone who has to pay close attention to what's going on, it's really hard to predict what's going on with these winters because they've been very, you know, they
yeah,
just changed.
It's hit or miss. Like this past May was not very nice. It was
right
cold and I don't know, wet. And it was this past May wouldn't have been good. It was, you know, it's hit or miss with the weather. I mean, that's anytime you host any of these things, it's all about Mother Nature. I mean, you're watching the PGA now and it, you know, they had that little rain delay yesterday, and the guys came out and just
ate it up.
Absolutely tore it up. It's one thing I know for sure: if it's soft, you're not going to stop them. So
nope.
I'm hoping we get no rain.
Yep, me too. And well, speaking of Glen Oaks, let's talk a little bit about the property there. And you know, let's talk about first. You know, what was it prior to you when you first got there as compared to what it is now? I mean, I've had golf course architects on the program before, and we're always trying to, you know, we're always talking about the difference between a restoration and a renovation and almost like a do-over. You know, what was it like, what was the property like for people who were listening before you decided to change what you have there to compare to what it is now?
Well, we have 27 holes, which is pretty unique. So it was, but it was a Joe Finger design in 1970. He did a lot of, he did like the Monster, the Concord up there, and he did a lot of stuff in Texas. But it was just a really tight tree-lined golf course. I mean, you really couldn't see any of the other holes. You know, all the bunkers were kind of the same. They were hard to see. We got a great piece of land here with the topography. So after Hurricane Irene in 2011 took a lot of trees out. We lost a couple hundred, and then Sandy, we lost, you know, I think 700 or 800 after Sandy. We really opened the place up and cleaned it up, and I mean now the actual layout stayed the same, and the greens, we tweaked a couple greens a little bit, but the actual layout and the routing is the same. But we just we opened up all the views and vistas and connected a lot of the holes together. It's a lot of there's a lot of fairway grass out here.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the holes are connected with fairways. You got, you know, from green running off to tees is all fairway. It's a really clean kind of manicured looking place. It's you know, it's kind of the anti Bethpage. Bethpage is a big rugged golf course with fescue and, you know, all the high grass. We don't have any high grass here. Everything is cut. I worked at Augusta. Spent a lot of time on some courses down south, and kind of have an Augusta the bunker style, like a Southern Hills Augusta kind of look.
Right.
Real clean, elegant-looking bunkers. And we hired McDonald & Sons, is a golf course construction company out of Maryland. They did the Black Horse when I was there, and they have their own architect now, Joel Wyman. So we hired Joel, and, you know, he put a master plan together back in 2011, and it came out great. And, you know, every year we keep expanding again. What's 2 years ago when we agreed to have this with the tour, we, you know, we've actually built a few more tees, added some bunkers. We had the Met Open this past August a year ago, which was like a good test run for us. We, we've even built a couple more tees after the Met Open and tweaked a couple bunkers and a few greens. So it's kind of been an evolving, you know, it's been 6 years now of just tweaking it. I think it's unique to Long Island, and you don't see a lot of places that have the similar look, which we were trying to do and give it a little different look.
Right. The you said you didn't do much to the greens, but they're still, they're still POA though, aren't they?
Yeah, the greens are all POA. They're very good. I think the greens, they have a lot of subtleties. A lot of the edges fall away from you. I'm hoping these guys not knowing the greens, that'll be the only thing that kind of protects it a little bit.
Right.
I mean, I think the guys are going to love playing here. I mean, it's wide open. I mean, they're not going to lose a golf ball. We got water on a couple holes that come into play, but I mean, I think the guys are going to be hitting a lot of drivers. There's really nothing tricky or there's no blind shots to speak of. I hope the guys come away loving the golf course.
Well, I'm sure they will. Talk a little bit about that. You said the greens were sort of the process of maintaining the greens. If you're tearing up the whole property, basically, and renovating the property, what was the process of keeping the greens, and why the choice to keep them, Paula?
Well, for one, around here, we're open year round. We don't ever really close.
Uh huh.
So to have POA, I mean, it's hard to keep the POA out around here in the Northeast. I mean, personally, I think POA, when it's right, is the best surface to putt on of any grass. You know, unfortunately, in the summer when it's hot, you probably need to keep them a little softer and fertilize them a little more than maybe some other grasses to keep them looking good. But
mm-hmm.
I mean, for a year-round grass around here, I think it's the only way to go. I mean, Wingfoot just did a massive renovation. Steve Rabideau up there, they actually stripped all the POA off, rebuilt the greens, and put the same POA back. So if that tells you what they think of POA.
Wow. So what are some of the differences, and just not to get all in depth in it, but, you know, the PGA, obviously, at Quail Hollow, and they went to the Ultra Dwarf Bermuda Champions, excuse me. Talk, you know, there's so many different potential choices. You know, can you talk a little bit about why you decided to keep the POA in terms of versus something like that? I mean, obviously it has to do with climate.
Well, I mean, that's a warm season grass. I mean,
right.
They had bent, like my good friend was a superintendent there for 8 or 10 years, and they had bent grass. You know, and trying to grow a cool season grass in North Carolina is pretty tricky. I mean, if they had bent grass on those greens now when it's 90, it's like I said, it's just impossible to keep them firm and fast and healthy when it's that warm. So all those golf courses down there are going to those Bermudas, and there's three or four different ones they're using, and you know, the hotter it is, the better they like it down there. So it's just much easier to maintain. I mean, you saw how firm the greens were before it rained on them.
I know, it's crazy.
So you know, and like up here in the Northeast, almost, you know, with the exception of some new clubs out east, you know, almost all the greens are predominantly bent POA. I mean, when I say POA, we have some bent grass in them, but they're
right.
Predominantly POA. It's just, and it grows naturally everywhere around here. It's all over in the roughs. It's everywhere. So it's really hard to keep the POA out. So I don't fight it. I just grow it. Like I said, it's susceptible to ice damage in the winter. It's probably one of the bigger problems too. It seems like the winters have been changing a little bit.
Right.
We've had a couple of devastating winters where it's killed a lot of grass.
Yeah. I want to continue with, because I'm really interested in this sort of transformation, but I got to get to a short break. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water. courses that are more sustainable, with many now offering natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it, Jack Nicholas agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Play like a pro with a custom set of PXG clubs in your bag. Designed to deliver unrivaled performance and fitted to optimize your game, PXG clubs will help you unlock your true potential. We guarantee you've never played like this before. Get fitted for PXG clubs at Pete's Golf Shop today.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Pleased to be joined by Glen Oaks Superintendent Craig Currier. Craig, we're talking about the transformation of your property. What have you learned in terms of, not only about yourself in terms of what you can do and sort of taking on this a project of this size? I mean, basically, if this was a house, you basically almost just about tore it down to the foundation and built it back up. What's that process been like for you in terms of you said you've worked at Augusta, you've worked at Garden City, you've been to some big clubs. I'm just curious as what you thought, what you've learned during this process.
Well, I mean, I think everyone should have after working at Bethpage and having 90 holes and basically gone through that whole renovation of the Black Horse and all the other work we did to all the other four golf courses and, having 275,000 rounds a year. After that, I don't want to say it's easy, but it's nothing. That place is
it's a challenge.
So much I learned so much over there, and there's just so many different ways that when you have that much play, you have to adapt and do things differently. And listen, when I first took that job, I had a lot to learn, and I've learned a lot over the years. And having gone through all those renovations and constructions and doing a lot of that stuff on our own in-house over there was, it was, beneficial. It's been, for me, just cutting the grass and maintaining it every day is boring. I love all of the construction and fixing things, and it's, it's like a painting that you never kind of stop painting. So to speak, and it's been so much fun over here. It's this was kind of similar to the Black Horse in the fact when I got here, the nuts and bolts were kind of here, but I mean it's all the other peripheral stuff that I enjoy fixing, from not just the greens, tees, and fairways, all the way from tree line to tree line. So I think that's probably the one thing I think people like the most when they come out here. They're kind of with the terrain we have, and it's all cut and striped up, which is kind of going back to old school a little bit with the stripes. Visually and aesthetically, it looks really good.
What was it like with the, how to explain to some of the people who are not sort of on the inside of how these things come? How did the, how was Glen Oaks chosen to be the site for the NTO?
Honestly, it was supposed to have been at Liberty National this year, and obviously they have the President's Cup a month from now.
Mm-hmm.
So, when they originally scheduled this there, then the President's Cup was announced, so they needed a site, and being that that's in New Jersey, they kind of wanted to keep it on Long Island and hopefully attract, the fans out here, because tapping two places for the same, month apart is a little tough. So,
right.
Charlie Robson, who was the executive director of the Met PGA, he had hooked me up with Peter Milley, who was the executive director of, then the Barclays, now the Northern Trust.
And right.
They were looking for spots on Long Island. So we got hooked up with them. We gave them a tour of the golf course, and, they liked it. We had to make a few minor changes, and I never, dreamed something like that we'd have the capability of hosting something like that. But it's actually worked out good. The college borders us, SUNY Old Westbury, so we've all the buses and everything are going to come in through the college. There's plenty of parking around for all the volunteers. And the setup that the tour has done out here is going to be great. I mean, if the fans are listening, it's going to be a great tournament to come watch. Spectator-wise, I think your views and getting around this place, it's a lot easier even than like certainly the black, you're going to be right on top of the action. And you know, I think it's going to be watching these guys. I mean, I think it's the best field in golf. He's got the top 125 from the entire year. I mean, to walk this close and be able to watch these guys play, I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I there's no question it's going to be not only a lot of fun, but it's going to be exciting. What were some of the challenges in terms of, or what do you think? You had two, you know, chances at Bethpage in terms of having the U.S. Open there twice. This is sort of an unknown. What are some of the things that, what were some of the challenges in terms of trying to, you know, get ready for an event where you're not sure exactly what the flow is going to be in terms of the people and where they're going to go? Talk a little bit about the challenges from having a brand new site.
Well, I think that's more on the tour, too. I mean, yeah. You know, figuring out where the entrance was going to be and where to build all the concessions. And I mean, but our 14th through 18th holes, kind of tight, and it's a great, I mean, even when we had the Met Open, everyone was kind of hanging around in that corner. So you got 9 and 18 that come right to the clubhouse, which is going to be a great finish on both days because they start off 1 and 10.
Right.
And then 14 through 18 and 10, they're all really close. I mean, you're going to have 6 or 7 holes right there where you don't need to walk very far to certainly watch golf. And then, you know, down below, I think one of the coolest holes, too, is going to be our 11th hole. It's a par 5 that we converted to a drivable par 4 for these guys.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got water left and right on the green, big deep bunker behind the green. It's a pretty severe green. It's 310 downhill. So I think that's, as far as a spectator place to go to, will be great. And then, you know, you've got the 5th green, the 3rd green, and the 6th hole all right there, too, without having to walk more than, you know, 150 yards. So it's, yeah, I mean, you know, I think the tour moving the Northern Trust around in the area, that's probably one of their bigger obstacles is, you know, when you go from site to site, setting it up is probably their biggest challenge.
Sure. What was it like for you in terms of, you know, you've gotten courses ready for U.S. Open, now a tour event. You know, how much of a difference is there in terms of how you go about what you do getting ready to test, like you said, the best players in the world?
From the U.S. Open to this, I mean, you know, obviously being 2 months later and the weather fighting off the summer, but we've had a great summer, so it's been good that way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think the prep on the course is any different. The footprint on the U.S. Open was just so much bigger. I mean, not that this is small, but it is compared to that. So
right.
And, you know, it's like anything else. Once you do it once, you know what you're kind of in for. So it's, I mean, prepping the golf course is almost the easy part. It's all the other, I mean, like right now, it's very busy out here. You've got Coca-Cola guys delivering machines, and you got porta-pots coming in, big bathroom trailers, and they're building all the tents, and they're putting up the TV towers. I mean, there's probably an extra 70 guys running around. So it's, you know, and to have the infrastructure, we've got some roads that go through the course, but they're not designed for big trucks and tractor trailers. It's been that way. It's been a little busy, but I mean, it's the buzz around here though is unbelievable. It's so fun. It's exciting because it's, you know, you got these mini villages built all around your golf course. It's a totally different look than you're used to seeing.
Yeah, I can imagine there's a new energy going through the property. I mean, it's going to be a great tournament. It's like sort of, you know, the circus is coming to town, and it sort of gets everybody amped up.
Yeah, it's the members are really excited. It's going to be you know, hopefully we get some fans to come out and check it out. I'm excited. The weather forecast, I mean, I hate to look too far ahead, but it looks pretty good. It doesn't look like it's going to be too hot. It looks fairly dry. So if the weather is good, I mean, that'll be the key. If it stays dry, I think it'll be just a little wind. You know, the big question that everyone always asks me is what they're going to shoot. So you know, everyone tells me they're going to break 60, they're going to shoot 25 under. So we'll find out in 2 weeks, I guess.
Yeah. What's it going to be like during the tournament week for you, just in terms of, you know, I know it's going to be, you're going to be crazy busy, but in terms of just a normal day, you know, what's that going to be like for you?
Tournament week, to be honest with you, is going to be pretty easy. I mean, we're going to start in the morning. Unfortunately, it's not light until almost 6. So we're going to have some lights around the first couple greens so we can see, but, you know, I've probably got an extra 30 or 40 local guys, some from out of town coming to volunteer that week that'll be here all week. So we'll probably have 70-person crew maintaining the place. I mean, we really only have like 2 hours in the morning to get everything cut and prepped. And then once play goes out, we don't really, unless there's a rain delay or something, there's really not much we can do. And then once they're done at night, we'll go out and cut and prep, get ready for the morning again. So it's, we'll be here from 4 in the morning until 8 or 9 at night, but it's kind of a short work window, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
a couple
sure.
hours in the morning, a couple hours at night.
Talk a little briefly, just a bit about the, having had this program and being a little more involved with the LIG, CSA, and sort of, I just wanted to just touch base with you about that. These guys, it's a pretty good community of guys that you, you're surrounded by in terms of an effort like this. The community to me has been outstanding. It seems to me you'll have some outstanding support.
It's the Long Island Superintendents Association. I was on the board for, 17 or 18 years. Obviously, I was the president of it. I mean, all the guys. I mean, it's even grown what they're doing for the community. And there aren't many jobs that you can call up the competition, and they'll give you any piece of equipment you need or any advice or what. I mean, we're always calling each other. What are you doing about this or that? And they're all sending me guys to work for the entire week. It's a pretty rare fraternity of guys we have. It's been great. There's so many good guys on the board now, and the things they're doing. I mean, obviously with your radio show, it's been great for the association, getting a little more. I think, the days of guys thinking of Caddyshack and the greenkeepers, the guy out weed whacking the grass, through all this kind of things has certainly helped our association.
Yeah, I couldn't be more proud to be a part of helping your association. The guys are unbelievable, and I just think, to me, everybody, this is a week of the PGA Championship, and everybody talks about the, we always have a number of Met PGA pros who are representing the Met PGA, and everybody always talks about the quality of golf courses and the, in terms of its prestige and historic nature of the Met section. And they always talk about the pros and they always talk about the golf courses, but rarely do they talk about the people who are taking care of those. What is really of all the golf associations, the Met PGA is the gem of them all. There's no the crown and the jewel, I guess, if you will, the jewel and the crown. But it's the guys like you who are taking care of that jewel and the crown of the Met PGA, and that is the golf courses that they get to be, that these guys get to play on.
Yeah, listen, I mean, we're the New York metropolitan area. I mean, has the greatest golf courses in the world, bar none, and they have the greatest conditions around too. I mean, I think if you travel the country and played around some other parts of the country, I mean, the conditioning of golf courses around here is just unbelievable. I mean, the guys every year they keep getting better and better and better. It's a real. I mean, there's just a lot of talented superintendents and around in the area, and certainly the Met section with the way Charlie Robson and Jeff Voorhees have run that. It's certainly the best. We probably have the best section of golf professionals and superintendents, I would venture to say.
Craig, thank you so much for, I'm just up against it now, and I just wanted to thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule. I think it's going to be a great event. It's a great property, and we're looking forward to the Northern Trust Open Week.
Yeah, thank you for having me, and I look forward to seeing you out here hopefully in 2 weeks.
Yep, I'll be there, and hopefully we'll get to we'll hook up and have a little chat about the conditions during the week.
Come on by on Saturday. We're having a little Long Island superintendent cookout for everyone's families and stuff, so stop by. We're on the ninth hole.
All right, that'd be fantastic. Thank you.
All right, Anthony. Take care.
Take care, Craig. All right, that was Craig Currier. We're going to take a short break. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Play like a pro with a custom set of PXG clubs in your bag, designed to deliver unrivaled performance and fitted to optimize your game. PXG clubs will help you unlock your true potential. We guarantee you've never played like this before. Get fitted for PXG clubs at Pete's Golf Shop today.
All right, folks, that's it for this week. I want to thank Craig Currier from Glen Oaks Northern Trust Open, folks. It's going to be great. Make sure you, it's a phenomenal property. You're going to enjoy it, and obviously the best players in the world will be on it. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Have a great week, everyone.
Teardrops on the city, baby.